Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Making football great again.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Great weekend.
Yep. Oh man, what's that? What's that noise? A little shuffling going on in the background. What's happening here? Everyone good?
Yeah, I'm good.
A little static electricity.
Okay, all right. That's
that means
we're call
coming
it.
With hey, some major voltage, people.
Yeah, boy, you stupid.
Rob is welcome to Fox Sports with 12 Minutes today. Man, this month is flying by. It is September the 30th. I feel like a little earthquake fire here, man. But so let's have some fun here, as we always do.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I said. We're wrapping this up, man. It's fast approaching here. October's upon us. All that fun stuff. NBA is capping. Baseball playoffs. All that good stuff, man. Let's kick into this again. Check in with my fellas. JQ, how you feeling, bro?
I'm doing better now that my heart has gone back to its normal rate. Just been a wild couple of days, you know, when you love your team, man, those hard-fought battles, it's tough to watch. But, you know, I'll take the results. I know. I'm not trying to rub it in on you. I know it's a tough day for you. So, I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man. I mean, you're not my enemy like Rob, you know, so it's good, man. So, just, you know.
Oh, man, that's cool.
That's the truth, huh? You know, we can have a civil, you know, hey, you know, we don't play you like, you know, every single, you know, year from that perspective. So, but it's all good. Rob, how you feeling this evening, bro?
True.
Oh, man, doing great. Got that little pre-show nap in, so I'm ready to go. Look like I'm hopefully having my best fantasy week this week. It's been rough for me these first few weeks of the season.
Me and you both.
Sure. let's tell the numbers really quickly here. I was letting you kind of, like, have that moment, Rob, if you will, man. So it's going to be good, man, as we always, man, because I expected some good numbers, man. My boy Jared Goff just produced for man. It's fun times, man. So, but yeah, we'll talk about this. Let's throw
absolutely
it really
not.
Quickly here.
I can't believe, man,
here.
I played Andy Dalton over Jared Goff in one of my leagues. Not that Dalton had a bad week, but damn.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
They should let us revert to, like, you know, like if you can have like a revert week, like everyone that you put on the bench, you can kind of restart them, man. So. That'd be crazy. Yeah, get a mulligan at the start, man.
Looked like I'm going to win regardless, but still, that was an additional 20 points I could have had.
We used to have one league, JQ, where we used to play like it was like all about points. It wasn't head-to-head, it was off points. So if you had the most points, you would win. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun, too. So that was another way, too. So we should do that, one, you know, maybe in the future, Rob. That was pretty fun, but it didn't really matter. It wasn't like head-to-head, literally. It was like if you had the most points, the team with the most points just kept rolling with it. So
gotcha.
That was fun.
Yeah, I remember that. It was whoever had the most points at the end of the year was the winner.
Yep. So we just tried to, like, accumulate that. Anyway, a lot of love. Let's talk the numbers really quickly. 424-243-9519 is the number. Call in to us. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, like we always do. And last but not least, we post a lot of fun stuff on Facebook, you know, try to make fun of everyone. So we try to keep equal opportunities for everyone, for all sports teams, even the Cowgirls. We try to, like, show you guys some love too, man. So again, Facebook.com/TalkingSports with the 12th man in that arena as well. So really quickly, let's start it out with a NFL recap. And Robbie, I'll just do the honors as always, bro.
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's got to be a tough game for JQ to be watching. His two favorite teams going at it, the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Man, who do you root for?
Nobody, a tie. I'm full-blown rooting for a tie.
You don't want to see neither one of your favorite teams lose?
I want to see neither one of them win. I want to see them both tie and feel bad about it.
Oh, man. But, yeah, when you look at today in the NFL, I mean, the game I would like to talk about here in particular, you know, to get started, is the Buccaneers and the Bears. I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tampa Bay, JQ's been saying it all along. It's just a matter of time before Fitzmagic come back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the Bears opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Buccaneers today. Mitch Trubisky, probably his best game, definitely his best game as a pro, with 6 touchdown passes. And that Bears defense, the Mac attack, is back at it again. I mean, they forced they had 4 sacks, 3 INTs of both the Bucs quarterbacks, Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, both got into the interception. And, I mean, wow. I mean, Khalil Mack, the Mac attack's back at it again, another sack fumble in this game. I mean, they were phenomenal, and they're sitting in first place in the NFC Central with a 3-1 record. Obviously, the Packers won again today to go with a 22-0 victory over the Bills. So they're right behind them at 2-1-1. But you got to be impressed overall with the Chicago Bears when you look at what they're doing. They're improving offensively, you know, under the head coach there coming from the Chiefs. And then defensively, they kind of have improved with Khalil Mack based on what they did last year. They were already a good defense, but now they're at a whole nother level. So, you know, in the league where you can go from worst to first, this Bears team is a team to be reckoned with, it looks like, based on the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, I did not see 6 touchdown passes come from Mr. Biscay. That Tampa had a, you know, elite level like Jacksonville defense, but my word, they have been playing better. But I mean, they just got waxed. That was pretty impressive by Trubisky and the Bears, and that defense is for real. Mack just, I think, just kind of put them over the top. He was the missing piece, so to speak. And yeah, that was just a whooping. You know, yeah. Zeke putting the Cowboys on his back, I think that's what they're going to have to do. You know, that's a big win for the Cowboys. He had a big game for them as well. I just don't know if they can do that week in and week out. The Lions defense don't really inspire a lot of confidence for me personally. So that's the team you can get away with that with, I think. But, you know, they had to have that one. A couple of other ones. Man, we just had some wild games. I mean, the Titans, look out for Tennessee. Back-to-back weeks, they're knocking off the Eagles in overtime. I mean, woo. And then
I called that one last week.
You did. I just, you know, I don't know if the Eagles are having that Super Bowl hangover or what, but they just don't look like the same team to me. And again, the Browns and the Raiders, all these overtime games. I cannot remember us starting the season with so many overtime games. This has been ridiculous. And the Browns finding a way to beat the Browns and giving away a game they were up by 8 late in the game and letting the Raiders win that game. No business. Oakland had no business winning that game. That's just, you know, Cleveland falling apart again. And then again, you know, me personally, you know, one of the really better games of the day, you know, because I like the Falcons having lived here in Atlanta, but. That Cincinnati Bengals, you know, Atlanta Falcons game, that was almost watched like an arena game, where the last person you thought, you know, enough time was going to win the game, drive down, because neither one of those defenses did a darn thing in that game. And just, you know, 73 total points, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's not going to be for either team moving forward. I mean, I'll take the win, but you can't give up 36 points every week and think you're going to win the NFL.
Well, that's 2 weeks in a row for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, obviously, offensively, Atlanta's going to be tough to stop with the weapons that they have, especially at the receiver position. When you look at Julio Jones, look at Calvin Ridley coming to his own as well. Another 2 touchdowns today. And of course, Sanu and Hooper. And, you know, when they get Freeman back healthy, they're going to be tough to stop offensively. And Atlanta, in order for them to win based on the injury that they have on defense, they're going to have to win some shootouts. You know, obviously, if you're a Falcon fan, you've been on the wrong end of 2 shootouts on 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, it looks as though that's just, you know, the type of games that they're going to have to play this season, unfortunately. Because, like I said, there's not going to be too many teams that can stop them, and there's not going to be too many teams that they can stop either.
It's terrible.
Yeah, sorry, Jerry.
Yeah. Right, terrible.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the Cowboys game there earlier. I mean, the Cowboys had over 400 yards of offense today, which was pretty surprisingly. I mean, Zeke Elliott was running the ball down their throat today. Dak Prescott was actually very efficient with throwing the football today as well. So you have to be pretty impressed with that, too, what they did. You know, even though it was at home against Detroit, I mean, they're 2-2. I mean, the Eagles are 2-2. And we talked about this even going into the first game of the season with the Eagles and the Falcons. If you're going to catch the Eagles, they started off the season with a lot of injuries. I still expect them at some point to take control of that division. I mean, right now the Redskins are in first place with 2-1, but the Eagles and the Cowboys are right there in the mix at 2-2, right behind them now. So that was a big win for the Cowboys. I mean, they're right there in the mix in that division. You talk about overtime games. Very bad decision by Frank Wright today for the Colts in that overtime loss to the Houston Texans today. I mean, a tie is better than a loss last time I checked. And and Frank Wright, you know, on 4th and 4 on his own 40-yard line, goes for it and missed. They didn't get it, and they give the Texans the ball right there. The Texans kick a game-winning field goal. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty dumb to me right there when you talk about, you know, one of the overtime games there today. So, I mean, that was, like I said, you get it out of there with a tie, that comes off a little bit better than a loss last time I checked.
Yeah, especially in that division where you got Jacksonville in there, and if you want, you know, we don't really think Indianapolis is going to do a whole lot, but you can't give away games like that when you know you have a powerhouse in the top of that division. You need all those wins. And again, our non-losses, so to speak, a win or a tie, because those ties also help when it comes down to, you know, winning percentage at the end when you don't have that loss and you have that tie. So, yeah, that's just a bonehead play. I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, anything else you want to add to that too, JQ, or are you good as far as, you know, anything else?
No,
I know we kind of touched base on Steelers-Ravens update. We were waiting for you to talk about your favorite teams, man, besides that too, man. But
I'm not talking about that. I mean, Baltimore.
Well, Justin Tucker just kicked another field goal, so he's been MVP of this game.
as he is a lot in these kind of games.
Yeah, exactly. He's got 3 field goals. Joe Flacco's got 2 touchdown passes. And you know, right now, the Steelers would have lost here. They would fall to 1-2-1. Obviously, still no Le'Veon Bell there. But Ravens here, they go to 3-1 with a win. They're right there with the Bengals in first place in the North.
Yep.
Still got about 3.5 minutes to go.
Yep.
All good. Let's talk about this Jets-Jaguars game here. And we talk about, I love one of the statements. It's like Blake Bortles is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, because, you know, 1 week, you know, it was like a 9-6 loss. And then the next week, they just open up a can on the Jets, man. So what's the deal? It's crazy, man. I mean, obviously, we need to talk about the Jets defense. It's pretty great, man. And then, you know, but what we say about that, Rob, as far as what's happening with Jacksonville, if you will?
Well, when you look at this game, it was just – when you look at Jacksonville defense against the Jets offense, it was just a complete mismatch. The Jets just don't have enough playmakers. And the Jaguars probably still have the best defense in the league. The Bears may be challenging that right now with the Mac attack. But when you look at it from a personnel standpoint, the Jets offensively was no match for the Jaguars defense today. I mean, the Jaguars have talented players on that defense at every level, and the Jets just did not have an answer for it, even with a rookie quarterback as well. I mean, to me, that was pretty simple. I mean, it was a complete mismatch when Jacksonville defense was on the field against the Jets offense.
Yeah, and I think we thought that was going to happen. My takeaway from the game is if you're the Jaguars and you have Super Bowl aspirations, that's a game you can win without Leonard Fournette. And he clearly wasn't right, and he hurt himself. You know, re-injured that hamstring. I feel like they're totally mismanaging him right now. You can win those games with T.J. Yeldon as your running back, and you get Fournette, you know, for that second half of the season getting back right. I mean, I know you want him to play. But, yeah, you got to let him heal up. Those hamstring injuries are so tricky. And now you might have cost him another couple of weeks by rushing him back. I just think that was really short-sighted on their standpoint. But, again, I'm with you, Rob. That game, you know, on paper, it played out just how we thought it would play out on paper. They just have too much defense. The Jets, while they still have a decent defense, they can't keep another team's defense honest because they just don't have the playmakers. It's totally to your point. They need to go heavy on the offensive side of the ball here in the next couple of drafts and or free agency. So, you know, not unexpected. Jaguars did what they needed to do to bounce back after the ugly 9-6 loss.
Hey, shout out to Leonard Fournette's younger brother, Leonard Fournette, contributing to LSU's win last night, too.
There it is. Let's talk about this. Right. Let's talk about this next game here. Next move, if you will. Kind of pissed me off slightly because another reason to hate the Carolina Panthers. Some jokers messed around and made a move for Eric Reed, signing a 1-year deal with Carolina. And I thought it was kind of a preemptive strike, if you will, because they knew that we had some challenges injury-wise. I know Dan Quinn's going to talk a little bit about needing safety help, but then Carolina goes and signs Eric Reed to a 1-year deal. I think it was just in spite of just kind of keeping away from the Falcons. But again, I know controversially he's been linked obviously to Colin Kaepernick and his options and his for with that. But talk a little about your thoughts about this, JQ.
Yeah, I think it's long overdue. I mean, it's not like that he was a bad safety. He was one of the better safeties that were out there in free agency, and we all know why he still was available after week four. If you watch that Carolina team, I mean, the Bengals tried to come back, but they put some points on Carolina. The Falcons most definitely did. I don't know if that was just so preemptive or the fact that I think Carolina, we talked about them getting a little strong in the tooth and defense, just needed some reinforcement. And while Eric Reed necessarily isn't young, he's still young enough to get them some solid years. And that's someone on Atlanta. They should have been made that move, but I think you got to owner and blank, unfortunately, for as great as he is for the Falcons, is from that old guard and didn't step up and didn't want to deal with that issue and give credit to the new owner. In Carolina for pulling the trigger and saying, hey, be damn, we need help. I'm signing this dude. So, you know, I'm glad he's finally off the street with a team. He should have been with one. And, I don't have any love for the Panthers, but, I appreciate their owner for being a maverick, so to speak, and going out and making a good move for his team.
All right. Good call, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you're glad old Ravens just got an INT. This game should be over. Just picked off Ben Roethlisberger.
There it is.
But obviously I'm not a Panthers fan by any stretch of the imagination, obviously with them being in the division with the Saints. But you got to respect the general manager here, Marty Herney here. Say this was strictly a football decision. They didn't even think about, he says this, but you got to figure they gave at least some thought to the collusion case that Eric Reed is still involved with as well. But, he said this was strictly a football decision, and they believe that Eric Reed can help their football team. So when you look at it, I think at this stage of his career, I think he's better off playing a strong safety than a free safety position. From a physicality standpoint, I don't know if he has the range that he used to have from a free safety standpoint. But obviously this gives them some additional help on the back end of the defense to give them some attitude and, to that defense there, which, when you look at the way they played against the Falcons, when you look at the Falcons and the Saints and even really the way the Buccaneers have been playing, I mean, you got some talented offenses in the NFC South right now.
Great.
Gotcha. All right, hopefully we get that squared away, too. Let's talk about Jared Goff and the Rams. He kind of made a note about it a little earlier regarding his play. And, 5 touchdowns, 365 yards, or something crazy. I got to verify the stat. I actually think it's like 400-something yards. But what about the Rams, man? You talk about the Jacksonville and AFC, but it looks like the Rams, they even though they lost, Tlaib and a couple of their players, they're still looking like they're pretty. This is a pretty impressive team, JQ.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that you touched on it. I mean, I think he's not 100%, but he's out there gutting it. And you got feedback with that, the high echo frames what he has. They're ridiculous. And a lot of times we say, these teams don't work in the NFL. But, just John McVay and what he's done for that offense and the lead step forward that Jared Goff has made and giving the weapons with the touch and with Robert Woods and with Brandon Cook. I mean, they just have so many weapons. And then, we still got Todd Gurley in the backfield. And that defense, they just have a phenomenal team. I look at them, and I feel like they took the Seattle, mode where you got a good quarterback on a rookie contract. You can swing for the fences with your defensive signs and some of your offensive signs. And then you got a really good young up-and-coming coach, that was in the Bay where Pete Carroll wasn't necessarily up-and-coming, but he was making his, move back to the NFL from college, and he was really hot at that time. And he came in and kind of turned Seattle around. But it's kind of that formula that I think that I see them going with in L.A. Just, you know, they got a little machine. They got a machine going. You wonder if Jared Goff is going to have any hiccups because he's still really young. But, you know, you throw, from what I think it was, 467 yards or 5 touchdowns or something just totally ignorant. I think he had a perfect QBR. Like, Jared Goff was a man in that game. He just threw some absolute dimes in that game. So, you know, hats off to Jared Goff and the Rams. They are looking like who we thought they would be, which is the class of the NFC right now.
A lot of confidence. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, he's playing like the number one pick overall. You know, obviously he was drafted first overall ahead of Carson Wentz, and he's actually playing like it. I mean, he's looking straight up phenomenal. And then their receiving core that they have right now, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks right now, they're hard to cover. And then we add Sean McVay's innovation to that offense. You know, Jared Goff, his rookie season prior to joining the forces with Sean McVay, looked like he was going to be a bust. But obviously, you know, he's actually looking like that number one pick at the moment, getting with the right coach, the right personnel. And then we add Ty Gurley in the mix. They're going to be – they're another offense that's going to be tough to stop in the NFC for sure. Defensively, obviously, this was their worst defensive game of the season. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, and those wide receivers, they lit it up as well. Obviously, the Rams are down a cornerback in this game as well. But it was their worst defensive performance of the year, but still a very good win, you know, for the Rams at home. And right now, they look like the best team in the NFC through the first quarter of the season.
Good call. Keep us going. We've got about 23 minutes left in the show. We always like to give where we are, and we're just doing a quick NFL recap. And let's talk about the Patriots and the Dolphins recap here, guys. And, you know, I know the Patriots came off of a pretty shocking loss against Detroit. They kind of righted the ship. I think they kind of took it out on the Dolphins. What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, obviously, the Dolphins going into this game 3-0, and the Patriots are 1-2. This was a game the Patriots had to have. They didn't want to fall three games behind the Dolphins, and they just came out and annihilated them. They got Sony Michel going today, probably his best game as a pro, about 112 yards rushing and a touchdown. So that was big. Brady, of course, looked like Brady of old. They were very efficient. Got a little bit of Gronkowski in the game as well. But I think the key is the way they ran the football and obviously the way they were able to actually incorporate James White back into the offensive mix too as well. And obviously their best defensive game that they probably had in probably going back to sometime last year. You know, so they put it together finally, and we'll see. You know, at some point you knew they were going to right the ship, and it, you know, they couldn't fall three games behind the Dolphins today.
No, and you knew it. That it was one of those own the Cincinnati moments out the last week against Detroit. You know, you Miami, you had to be looking like, oh, sweet Jesus, we're going to get the best of the Patriots got. And they got it. I mean, Ryan Tannehill threw for 100 yards. 100.
That's crazy.
You know, that is – we're talking about people throwing for 400, 325. Wait. Yeah, 100 yards is just ridiculously bad in the NFL game. Then that's why you can't trust Miami. And I felt like, you know, they had some decent wins. But New England still that bully on the block, and you got to knock them off. And they showed us in no way, shape, or form they were ready to knock off New England this year. Maybe
give
it changed
bite,
when they play that game in Miami. Say what?
That's a give me your bite.
Yeah, but yeah, it's man. They weren't ready for prime time. It was, you know, it was on to Miami, and they just gave Miami a complete whooping. So, again, not to be unexpected to me, I would have been shocked if Miami had won that game. But the you know, the Patriots came out and did what the Patriots do when they're back against the wall. That's what we expect out of them.
Yep.
We saw Brock Osweiler sighting too. That was pretty crazy as well. All right, gentlemen. Let's keep going. I know he played. That was a sign of that. Hey, let's talk about this. Kirk Cousins, is he the most overpaid QB in the league, Rob?
Well, I will say this. Obviously, he had a very, you know, loss the other night against the Rams. So he was very good, in my opinion. And I think he's a solid quarterback. I wouldn't put him up in a Pro Bowl category just yet. I will say this. I'm very surprised that he's the very first quarterback to get just about that fully guaranteed contract. I mean, there's several quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. So I'm very surprised that he was the first one to get that fully guaranteed contract when he signed a $94 million deal with the Vikings. Obviously, the Vikings had a lot of cap space and they were very desperate. But I'm just surprised that he was the first quarterback to get that completely guaranteed quarterback when you look at some of the other names that are in the league over Kirk Cousins. So I think very good quarterback, but, you know, I think there were a lot of other guys that was probably deserving, more deserving of being the first guy to get that fully guaranteed contract. And the Ravens just add another field goal, Justin Tucker again.
Yeah, he's going nuts. Somebody is pissed off when I get Justin Tucker because he's just going, you know, batshit in the second half. But yeah, the thing about it is the cost of doing business, you know, and the escalated arms race with the QBs that, you know, these teams, they get a lot, you know, they basically almost get, you know, locked into having to pay a dude money they wouldn't have to do it. To me, I look at it almost like an NBA team where you have that dude that you know is not worth that money, but, you know, he gets a double-double or is averaging a double-double, but he's only doing it in garbage time or on a bad team. And you know he is crazy. You look and you say, my goodness, somebody's going to overpay him and they're going to have buyer's remorse. And then it happens. And I'm not going to say that Minnesota necessarily is going to feel that way about Kirk. But when other contracts come up and they don't have that money because all of that is, you know, fully guaranteed, now you got to do some kind of salary cap gymnastics to try to work, make that work. It is. I'm just not a fan of paying one person that kind of money, no matter where they are on the field, on the team, because you just can't feel a competitive team with that kind of guaranteed money. And Minnesota, you know, he's got a good core with them, but now that defense is showing some cracks. Where's the money to go get that defense straightened out? Oh, it's in Kirk Cousins' bank account because we just gave him all that money. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not a fan of that. Outside of those guys that you know, the names you can write along, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, those guys where you're like, yeah, you know, he gets that money. But Kirk Cousins is not in that vein. So when you say that, you're like, yeah, they may have made a mistake. And it's showing up on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Send all your emails to JQ at Talking Sports with the 12th man, Kirk. So if you want to reach out to JQ, tell him how you feel about, you know, you getting your money, Kirk.
Right.
You know.
You started to see that Vikings defense started to tail off at the end of last year when you really look closely at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were to say that was a pretty interesting game too. That was a big test, man. But you know, like you said, I agree with you, Rob. We're not saying that he's like, you know, chopped liver, but, you know, he's not an elite quarterback either, man. So, you know,
exactly.
I don't know. Another good call, man. He hasn't really proven it to me as yet, which is why I kind of agree with you going with that too, Rob. So, a good call. Talk about Cam Newton. Is he the biggest red zone threat in the league, JQ?
Man, I would have to say that he is. Because, you know, we could talk about like a Gronk who's just a monster in a bad matchup, you know, in the red zone for a safety or a linebacker. But that dude, because of his ability to run and throw the ball with his size and his strength, good Lord, ball's cracking up. I mean, it just is, he's hard to stop. And even when you hit him, if he falls forward, he's so big, he's going to get 2 yards just falling forward. You know, sometimes even three. And when you're in the goal line and you're in the red zone, I mean, that's all you really need sometimes, you know, to get that first down or get in the end zone. So I would have to say for right now, I think that he is.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when he's inside the 10-yard line, the read option is in effect, you know, with him as well as whoever's in the backfield at the running back position. It's a tough play for them to – it's a tough play for defenses to stop with him being at the quarterback position in that read option play, especially inside the 10-yard line. Maybe not as effective from the 15 or the 16, but once you get to that 10-yard line into the goal line, that's a hard play to stop with Cam Newton at the quarterback. So definitely, if not the biggest red zone threat, definitely one of the biggest red zone threats in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, It reminds me. I remember the guy at Kentucky, the hefty lefty, Jerry Lorenzo, man. Remember that? Remember
mm-hmm.
that? Was that his
yes.
name? That man.
Yes, it is. That's his name.
Oh man, I think about how big Cam is, but he wasn't anything like that, man. I just remember that dude. That dude. Imagine that dude in the league, man. That would be crazy, man. He didn't have all of it. That was a big boy, man. So. No one is quite as big as Cam. Like, what is he? 6'5", 6'6"? That's crazy, man. So I agree with Bulky, man. That dude, man. You won't be tackling him. That was like big guys and the Nigerian Nightmare and Jerome Bettis. Man, that's craziness. Let's talk about the
Ravens get a big-time road victory, 26-14, go to 3-1.
Le'Veon Bell, come on, bro. Stop hanging out of the clubs, man. I need you on my team. That's a side note there. Anyway, let's talk about the Redskins' projections going forward, Rob.
Well, even though they're in first place, I still think at some point you're going to see the Eagles take control of this division here. I think the early part of the season was the time of the year to catch the Eagles with the injuries that they're having on both sides of the ball, and particularly the offensive line and Elshon Jeffrey. And I think overall their defense has been pretty good, even in the loss today in overtime. I just still think at some point you're going to see that team, you know, take over that division and win it. The Redskins, I still see their ceiling as being somewhere between the 7-9 season. Alex Smith has played well. Adrian Peterson, actually, even at 81 years old, has actually been running the ball pretty good too. But how long can that last is the question. Can he continue that pace at that age and as much wear and tear that he has on those legs? Can he continue at that rate? But I would say their ceiling is somewhere between the 7-9 kind of team this year, the Redskins, and missing the playoffs. And from the looks of it, the NFC East is only going to get one team in the playoffs, and that's the team who wins the division, and I still think it's the Eagles.
Yeah, I might give them 8-8, but I agree with that. I don't trust Adrian Peterson to hold up for the whole year. I don't really trust Alex Smith as much, and I know I should. I just don't think he is a quarterback that's going to put a team over the top, especially, you know, when I feel like the Eagles are going to get back in it. And I don't trust Jordan Reed to stay healthy because he never does. Dotson hasn't shown me the ability to stay healthy, and neither his Crowder. So I'm looking at that and a whole bunch of guys that can't stay healthy, and we don't feel like it's going to be able to make it through the grind of a 16-game season. And maybe this bye is, you know, it's too early for them. Maybe it's a little later in the season, but I agree. I feel like Philadelphia is still going to win that division. I feel like they can get to 8-8 because I feel like they can beat the Cowboys once, and I feel like they can get the Giants probably twice because the Giants, Eli Manning just is horrific. I'll put them there, but I just don't think they have enough to overtake the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to figure it out.
Good call. All right, let's get to these Week 5 predictions here. We got the really exciting game, man. This is, you know, you talk about like a game that everyone's going to put on the calendar. Jaguars at the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have the Monday night game, if you will, versus the Broncos. But you talk about a really, really, this may be a preview, guys, of a playoff game here. So let's talk about this. Your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, based on what I'm seeing as of now, and obviously we got to watch the Chiefs on tomorrow night, but I like the Chiefs at home. I mean, that's a tough place to go into. I mean, I've had the opportunity to go to a game in Arrowhead Stadium, and that place is loud. And the football field kind of sits below the ground level is basically what I'm trying to say. So it's like you're in a dungeon kind of thing. And that place is loud. That's a tough place to go and win. And I like the Chiefs to score at least 27 points, even on that Jaguars defense.
Woo!
I'm going to say 27-17 Chiefs over the Jaguars on next week.
You co-signed that to JQ?
No, I think this is a blip in the road for Mahomes. I know Kansas City is a tough place to play. But one thing that Jacksonville has is a portable defense. You can take that defense in any, you know, weather condition, dome, outside, whatever, and they're going to play ball. And I just believe that's what's going to happen. They're going to find a way to slow them down just enough. I feel like it's a 24-21 Jacksonville win.
I'm gonna side with Rob, man. I think the Chiefs, man, are going to pull it out, man. Mahomes still got some magic, man. And the only reason why I think that is because I still think that Blake Bortles is still a little – he's going to be Jekyll and Hyde, man. That's still your wild card, man. So I like Mahomes. That dude is on fire, man. So that's me, man. I don't
know.
Yeah, but that
game's
so long,
not good.
And trust me, I think Jacksonville does slow down the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have been putting up 40-some points every week. I think they only put up 27 on Jacksonville.
They're going to slow them down. But I'm
saying,
yeah, good.
But I think I won't be surprised if the Chiefs give, like, a defensive touchdown in this game, too. And,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
Yeah, good.
Oh, one. Shannon Sharpe pulling up the pink blazer.
Agree to disagree.
Nah, it's all good. It's not, but please, like I said, not we getting like paid or anything like that. Say, I'm just saying, I just think that
no.
Because you got, you know, you're Jekyll and Hyde, man. But it's going to be a good game no matter what, man. Let's talk about the next game. I wonder who Rob's going to go with, the Redskins at the Saints, man. Is Adrian Peterson going to try to, like, get some revenge against the Saints for not running him, JQ?
No, I just feel like New Orleans is got – I think they're getting it corrected. I think they're getting it corrected more on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what is more important for them. I think the offense, I don't really concern myself with them as much about, because Drew Brees and that offense is going to be who they are. Do they get Ingram back for that game next week?
Yes.
They get Ingram back. Okay. So, you know, they're going to ease him back into it because you don't really want to take the shine away from Kamara because he's absolutely just been killing it. And Michael Thomas is catching everything, even throwing halfway in his direction. I just, you know, I'm just not, like I said, a believer yet in the Redskins. Maybe, you know, this is a game that could take me into that direction and think of somehow beat the Saints, but I can't go against it. If it's Alex Smith versus Drew Brees, you know how I am. I'm going with Drew Brees.
Yeah, and, you know, I may sound like a homer, but, you know, I'm trying to be as objective as possible. But I like the Saints in this game at home. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, historically, they shine in these primetime games. And I think they'll be too much for the Redskins to get Ingram back. And Kamara, oof, I just saw the kind of game he had today. 134 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. And then all the yards he got in the backfield. He actually leads the league in yards from scrimmage. And now you add Ingram to the mix. You give the Saints another weapon on offense. And I think they will be too much for the Skins. I think the Saints put up 33 points in this game. And I'm going to say 21 for the Redskins. And the Saints' defense is actually playing the run really well. Their weakness has been the second cornerback position. And and they've been getting killed at the second cornerback position. Obviously against the Giants, they played better today. But teams that are loaded at the receiver position like the Falcons and the Buccaneers, you know, have given the Saints some real issues. But they've actually been playing the run really well.
Yeah. That jacket is something wrong with Shannon Sharpe, by the way. I'm going to make a comment on that, too. Just a quick side note, too, man. It's kind of sad to hear.
It's actually
kind of
sharp.
Hear that. Nah, man. I mean,
the color is bright, but the jacket is kind of sharp.
It's a nice jacket, but like I said, I don't know about color. We got about 7 minutes here. Just a quick side note, too, regarding looks like Earl Thomas is out with a little lower leg fracture, man. So that's interesting,
yep.
Man. Cause I know there's been some options about him going where he was going to end his career, man. So that's another pretty interesting injury for him, man. So we'll see how that's going to affect not only Seattle, but Earl Thomas's future as well. Gentlemen, let's kind of kick it off here. We got to talk about some fantasy week 3 shout-outs. So go ahead, Rob, with that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are the fantasy shout-outs from last week. Obviously, we're still in the middle of a fantasy action on this particular week. So these fantasy shout-outs are from week 3 last week. And actually, the teams that had the best weeks last week, all are the teams that are in first place in the leagues. And league number 1, Eagles Chick for Life, Christelle in Albuquerque, New Mexico, she had the best week. She had a 138.98 victory over Big Fast and Strong. Well, 138.98 to 104.2 over Big Fast and Strong. And her team is actually in first place for the league as well. And league number 2, Hunk Smash, that's Chester from New Orleans. Actually, he beat my team, the second liners. Had the biggest win of the week, 184.34 to 142.56. And his team was in first place as well. League number 3, Unger's Crew. That's Matthew from Indianapolis. His team had the biggest win of the week, 176.90 to Irvin's team, 83.30. And, of course, his team is in first place as well. And last but not least, league number 4, biggest win of the week, Andre's team, co-host. Man, he put it on his wife. Man, did she make you sleep on the sofa?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was a rough week, man. It's all good, though.
173.56 to Baby Got Backfield, 102.50 And Andre's team is in first place in that league as well. So those are your fantasy shout-outs for the week. And that's from last week, week three.
I didn't say anything. I just kind of kept it quiet. I didn't talk to Jones or anything like that. I just figured that'd be best for both of us, man. So it's all good. Hey, thanks for the shout-out. We have 5 minutes here, and we'll talk about – we got 3 minutes here, and we'll talk about some college football, gentlemen. And I guess Rob is going to kick us off because we don't want JQ's heart to go, mess with me even more. But will Ohio State make the playoffs? And we'll let JQ kind of wrap it up. But let's give him some hope, Rob, if you will.
Well, I mean, obviously, I actually thought they would beat Penn State more than what they did, even though it was a road game. But I still think Ohio State is going to be the class of the Big Ten. There's not another team in the Big Ten with as much talent as Ohio State have. And so I definitely think they'll still be in the playoffs, whether it be an undefeated season or a one-loss season. I think Ohio State will be playing in the playoffs this season, no doubt about it.
There you go.
I don't know about the no doubt, because the only reason why I say that is because we finally saw Haskins be mortal. He looked like he was really rattled. He was rattled. I won't even say looked. He was rattled for that first half, that on the road, that white out of prime time in conference against the top 10 team. But they found a way in the end to get it. You know, like I said, they aged about 7 years watching them and the Bengals play today. I think that's going to be their biggest hurdle in terms of on paper hurdle. But you know, you can't stub your toe looking over teams. And, you know, you always got to play Michigan State and Michigan towards the end of the season. I still think they should make the playoffs. I think this could have been, an elimination game. And it's hard to, it's hard to say that in September, but it was so big in the Big Ten East, given where everything else is shaken out, that, they had to have that if they wanted to keep their hopes alive. So as of right now, I'm going to say, yeah, they got the win they had to have, the two wins, TCU and Penn State, in this first month of football. So they're making their case. I think they should, but, have to keep reevaluating month by month.
There you go. All right. Good call, bro. All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to think if we got enough time here. We got about 50 seconds. I do want to talk about Clemson's comeback win over Syracuse. And just because a couple things, man, you learned about, Trevor Lawrence goes down with concussion and Chase Bryce comes in, saves it. You talk about Kelly Bryant, man, making the decision to transfer. If he would have been patient, he could have been the savior of Rome, as they say. But now – just kind of what they survived, Clemson survived like they survived Texas A&M, just due to that great defense. And, we'll talk about that too. But I guess, Rob, before we get into that, go ahead and set up the OT portion because we got about 22 seconds, and then we'll let you and Jake, comment on that as we wrap this up.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to our live portion of the show. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live. So click on the same link on tomorrow, and you'll get the rest of our college football coverage. You don't want to miss it, so definitely click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show, as well as a few nuggets or lanyap, as we say. So you don't want to miss our OT portion of the show. We'll be back on the air live on next Sunday night again. We'll be coming to you live on Sunday night again, following some great NFL action once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Sunday night. You don't want to miss us live. Thank you for tuning in once again. Write us, tweet us, let us know what you think. Let us know if you agree or disagree with us. We would love to hear from you. Good night, people.
Yes, we would. We appreciate y'all listening to the show. Your boy is going to try to get him some rest this week because I've been with the Buckeyes that came through, but Lord have mercy, that was stressful. You thought I had some gray hair before. I think I got about 4 or 5 different gray hairs now just over the last 24 hours dealing with my team. An exciting weekend of football. We got some baseball coming up here, too. We got some playoff games, some play-in games for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to miss our announcements of that next week as well. Again, everybody be safe. Have a good weekend. We'll holler at you later.
Yep.
I know what you mean, Jake. You're watching the Saints. I'm worn out after watching the Saints, man. I need a nap.
I was just so ridiculously tired and exhilarated and all that at the same time. It was crazy. It's been a crazy weekend. I mean, to go 2-0 in those games, I didn't know if that was going to happen. You hope and pray and wish it happened, but when you have those big games, especially living here in Atlanta as a Bengals fan, and everybody knows I'm a Bengals fan. So I really needed that win today. But it was a really good game. You know, it was worth going through it. So, for sure.
OT portion, we're officially into our OT portion. And, yeah, like I said, this juncture, I don't even know if it's right, man. You hope that you can stop somebody. The confidence is definitely waning, man. So, really quickly, let's talk about I kind of set the stage for that, too. But let's talk about if you want to comment on Clemson's win over Syracuse, the floor is yours, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, surviving the Vans. I mean, they were down. They didn't have Kelly Bryant. And, of course, Lawrence got hurt in the game as well. So you're down to technically your third-string quarterback, and you have to survive. Chase Bryant. You surprisingly went to that game 4-0. And so, I mean, that was, you know, they had to just survive in advance. Thankfully, the defense made some really tough plays, some really good plays for them, some clutch plays. And actually, the third-string quarterback, he even made some clutch completions to go along with the running game to help them to secure victory in this one. So it was basically a survive in advance. And but, yeah, a big blow to them losing Kelly Bryant. I mean, obviously, you like to have that senior leadership still on the roster to help them in a situation like this. And you have to wonder if that's going to hurt them down the stretch of the season, not having him available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing before I jump into that piece of it, I really think it was ridiculous that, you know, Syracuse wasn't ranked. If you paid attention to Syracuse, I mean, they also obliterated Florida State. That's a really great Syracuse team that I think should have at least been in the lower 20s ranked-wise. So that wasn't an easy game. You look at Syracuse, these aren't your mom and dad Syracuse football teams. You know, I know Dominic Knapp is not going to walk through that door, but they got a really good team in Syracuse. Dino Babers has a good team. So I want to give them their credit. Yeah, I just want to give them the credit. Wow, you went way back. But for Clemson, ain't nothing coming through. But looking at Clemson, that's tough. You know, I feel Kelly Bryant because all he did was win the games. And you say, you know, you're benching me while we've won these games. I've done everything that I was supposed to do. I waited my turn behind Deshaun, and here's my time, and we're winning games. I mean, yeah, we lost Alabama in the playoffs, but a lot of teams lose to Alabama in the playoffs, you know, like throughout the regular season. So, to me, I felt his frustration of being benched, you know, while winning football games. So, I think that bridge was burned. And it just is crazy that it worked out in the same week that, you know, Lawrence got hurt.
Yeah.
But that kid, Bryce, from Grayson here in Atlanta, not getting any snaps. And you get called in to go play against a really good team, even though you're at home, that's a really good team. So, you know, he showed a lot of moxie, and it just shows you, really, how deep that Clemson team is with the talent they have.
Yeah.
Dudes, they're picking up, like, okay, you go play. And it took him a second to get his sea legs, but then he kind of balled out there in that fourth quarter and then made some really good throws to keep their season alive. You said it perfectly, Rob. Survive in advance, and that's what they did.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is from the Atlanta area, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He's from Sunshine.
But, you know, I will say this as well. Dabo Sweeney showed confidence in the young quarterback, too. They didn't really change up the game plan. They gave him the confidence to just go out there and play football. Did he make some mistakes there in the third quarter? He certainly did. But he stuck with him. He still let him throw the football. And he made some key throws to help them win that game down the stretch. So you got to give Dabo Sweeney a lot of credit, too, for showing some confidence in the kid. But I totally agree. They probably mishandled the Kelly Bryant situation. They should have just kept him as a starter and just kept playing Sunshine. And, you know, when you need to him, you go to him. And, and that way you still would have had him available to you down the stretch of the season. I mean, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but it obviously would have been better if he would have handled it that way so you still have him available in these kind of situations.
Yeah, and that's and lastly, I was gonna say too, because Clemson is definitely getting battle tested, man, for sure, man. So yeah, man, just they've made some really good wins against some really talented teams, man. So they're ready, man. We'll see how it plays out. All right, let's talk about Oregon here, and man, doesn't really Willie Taggart wish he was back in Oregon right about now, as opposed to playing with the best in Florida State right now. Oregon just destroys Cal. Justin Herbert looks like he's didn't really have his best game, but, you know, it's like he's, you know, doing his thing in the Pac-12 right now. And Oregon should be pretty confident with a lot of their games on the schedule. Man, tell us about that. Your thoughts on this, JQ.
Yeah, I think we talked about, you know, we were unsure of that Pac-12 and who was going to be what and who could we trust. And I think we got to the point, it's safe to say that this is going to come down to Washington or Oregon, really. Justin is just, he's a phenomenal head coach still. He's going to have some growing pains, but he can flat out roll and he can flat out throw that rock. Now, Washington, you know, like Jake Browning, after I saw put a move on in that game, I said, Jake Browning, stop it. You know, and that Washington defense is as advertised. So I really think that that's what it's going to come down to with those two. But, yeah, you know, Cal is just Cal. I mean, you know, they're supposed to do that, but this is the Oregon team that hadn't necessarily been doing it through this last couple years of turmoil. So you start to see them get back on the road, and you say, okay, we can now go back to being a believer in Oregon. They changed the way they play football. You know, it's more of a smash mouth style like Rob talked about last week. So it's going to be very interesting to see when those two get together. But I think it's between those two. And I could see one of those, you know, depending on how it shakes out, I could see one of them making the college football playoffs. I mean, because Washington still has a quality loss, so to speak, at Auburn, basically in Atlanta. But they, to me, look like they have, you know, when you look at it, the team of college football playoff team, they look like they have that look. I'm not quite sure of Oregon yet, but they're making strides in that direction. But I still think they're a year or two away from being totally back.
Yeah, when you look at the power of the Pac-12 right now, it's in the North Division with Washington, Oregon, and Stanford. Even though Stanford got whipped by Notre Dame this past, but that's where the power is in the Pac-12 right now. And right now you have no ranked teams in the Pac-12 South. Looked like USC rebounded with a win at Arizona, but they still may be the class of the South when it's all said and done. But the best teams in the Pac-12 are in the North Division right now. And I'm probably one of the few people that actually stayed up to about 1 in the morning watching this Oregon-Cal game the other night. And, you know, Cal was very competitive. They had some bad turnovers that probably cost them about 14 points in this game, and they had some missed opportunities offensively. But they moved the ball against Oregon really well. The RPOs, and they were successful with the dropbacks as well. And so they moved the ball on Oregon pretty good, but, you know, some key turnovers cost them, some other missed opportunities, and that was the difference, probably an 18-point victory for Oregon.
Let's keep it going here, guys. Washington, man, this is interesting, man, because, you know, they had a tough loss, obviously, against Auburn, but, you know, BYU is not a slouch, even though BYU didn't have their best game. I know they had, like, a lot of penalties and fumbles, and they couldn't really get any pass rush. And you talked about Jake Browning, JQ, too, man. So what about Washington, man? Are you kind of impressed with them, the way that, you know, the team? I mean, they're a pretty talented squad, but, I mean, are they kind of ready to kind of say, hey, let's kind of flex our muscles, JQ?
I think they are. And we talk about that Auburn game. I think we've all touched on it at some point. I really felt like Washington lost that game, Auburn didn't necessarily win it. And that can happen. I know it's splitting hairs, so to speak. But I really feel like Washington, with the missed field goals and just the penalties in that game against Auburn, they shot themselves in the foot. They could have won that game. And they look like the real deal when you see them play. And they just, you know, steamrolled BYU. And you got to give Washington credit. They got, veteran leadership in Jake Browning. I think they still have Haskins as running back.
Gaskins.
Forgot his name. Gaskins, there you go. But it's that defense. It's, to me, is what it's going to have to come down to. They're going to have that, portable defense. And I think they have that, so to speak. And we don't really normally say that about a Pac-12 school, right? So that's the one thing that kind of sets them apart, is that they have that defense.
Yeah.
I really do think they can play with those heavyweights, you know, east of the Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta see. Yeah, go ahead, Jake. Or go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that was they dismantled BYU in that game. BYU is a very good physical football team and a very tricky team
100%.
Offensively too. And and Washington was able to dominate that game. Washington's front seven is as good as any front seven on defense as any team in the country. And Jake Browning was flat out flawless in this game as well. So they're definitely in the mix. To me, they definitely got the class of the Pac-12. Obviously, you still got to play the games, but on the surface at the moment, they definitely look like the class of the Pac-12. I mean, they hadn't played Oregon or Stanford yet.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll get to see here coming up soon. But they definitely seem like a team that may have a shot to work themselves back into the playoff hunt.
Yep, they got to play UCLA coming up. They got to play Colorado's undefeated right now, but we'll see how that. And like you said, Oregon, and that's gonna be a good. That's gonna be a good game as well, man. To see how they stack up as well. Let's keep this going here. Virginia Tech hands Duke. Duke, that's crazy. Its first loss. What about that, Rob?
Well, obviously Virginia Tech had an embarrassing road loss last week against Old Dominion. And losing 49-35, their only loss of the season. And Old Dominion hadn't won the game yet. But they come back, get a convincing win, 31-14 over a solid Duke team. Duke was ranked number 22 heading into this game. They've now fallen out of the top 25. Virginia Tech is back in the top 25 with a solid win. They, you know, played really good defense in this game and was able to bounce it back. So good win for Virginia Tech.
Bounce back.
Yeah, you know, I guess. I don't really have a whole lot for this. This is Duke. This is Duke football. I mean, yeah, they were undefeated for a little while, but, you know, they're going to come back to earth. I mean, you know, Cutcliffe is doing a really good job there in terms of what he can do for the money.
Oh, yeah.
For what Duke football is going to do.
Doing good at Duke.
Yeah, but, you know, they're going to be at best a 7-5 kind of 8-4 team when they start going for some more of those ACC, you know, heavyweight. So, I mean, you know, they were due to come back to earth. I'm not really surprised at it.
It's the best Duke been in football since Steve Spurrier was the head coach, the old ball coach.
Yeah.
We just going to go out there and pitch it around a little bit?
Uh-oh. Yeah, they're going to go to the Wheat Eater Bowl or something crazy. that's what they're going to do.
The Poland Wheat Eater Bowl.
There you go.
Here we go. So I know this next team is going to make – J.Q. doesn't really care about this. You know, he's, like, literally small to the bank here. I mean, I'm getting sick of khakis, man. I'm just saying Jim Harbaugh and the khakis. Michigan storms back to beat Northwestern. They spotted Northwestern 17 points, and they literally took them, like, four quarters, Rob, to catch up about this. But I'm going to let J.Q. start about his next favorite team. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the comeback. I saw the beginning part while I was waiting on the soccer game that was working to start. And then I saw the score at the end. I was like, hot dog at Northwestern. I needed you to knock them off just to have them in more turmoil, because that's the last thing Michigan wants to do is to lose to freaking Northwestern. Michigan has too much talent for Northwestern, if the truth be told. And that's a game they shouldn't have been down 17-0 in anyway, 17-7, whatever it was, and I picked it up. So, it's one of those things that Northwestern, you know, they're a gritty team. They're going to play good defense. They're going to, you know, make you know that you were in a fight. They don't have that, you know, consistent 4 or 5-level stars that when things get tight, you need somebody to go make a play. They have those guys that can go do that. And Michigan does. And that's what you saw, you know, the cream rise to the crop throughout the part of the game. They were even able to spot them that kind of lead and start out so sluggish so they still come back and win.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michigan, actually, the last couple of weeks, I was very impressed with Michigan. I was like, wow. Notre Dame. But the last couple of weeks, I was actually very impressed with Michigan, thinking they may put themselves back in the Big Ten hunt here, and then they come back and be not so impressive yesterday. They had to come back 17 down in Northwestern. Karan Higdon saved the day. 115 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Shea Patterson had 196 passing yards, 31 yards rushing. But like I said, the last 2 weeks they were impressive. Then they come back and look, you know, very average on yesterday. So still very unsure about this Michigan team.
Jim Harbaugh's unsure about the Michigan team. Talk about it. All right,
yes,
gentlemen, let's get into some college predictions here, and I'm excited here about this. You got number 18 Texas versus number 6 Oklahoma. Is that the Red River Shoe Battle? Is that what that is?
Yep. Yes, it
is. Yeah, is that right?
Yep. Man, I am rooting hard for Oklahoma because I'm still upset at what Texas did. I'm going to hold that always against them. But I still think this is Texas. They're kind of feeling confident. We've had a couple of big games, but I think this is the one where they can get there. They're gonna get theirs, man. So I'm picking Oklahoma in this. I'm gonna go 35-27. That's where I'm going. But I'll eat to that, Rob. Your thoughts, man?
Well, I think it's gonna be a high scoring game, and I don't think Texas is gonna be able to slow down Kyler Murray and that Oklahoma offense. I see Oklahoma putting up 42 points in this game. I'm gonna say 42-35. Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Winning this football game. Texas has improved. They're working their way back. But I still think Oklahoma is slightly better.
Yeah, agreed. And I just can't pick Texas, so I see Texas do it on a regular basis, right? And they played better, but they still lost to Maryland. And I'm still going to hold that against them. And they played better, and I think, you know, I don't know what the world has with TCU. As an Ohio State fan, I really need the TCU to win that game so that can be a better victory for us. But I digress. I still don't think the Texas is fully back. I think Oklahoma still has too many weapons for them right now. I think Oklahoma wins this game. I think it's going to be closer than people give it credit for. I think it's a touchdown game. I'm going to call it 35-28, but I think Oklahoma wins.
Shootout, 100%.
Hey, talking about the Bengals on the NFL Network, are you buying the Bengals?
Everybody's going to say no.
Keeps it real.
You can't buy them yet. Again, you haven't seen them do it.
Yeah, fair enough. Next game, let's talk about number 10 Auburn at number 23 Mississippi State. Like I said, another matchup on the Mississippi State. Just play their old coach, Dan Mullen. Florida was able to pull it out, but emotionally, you know, we'll talk about that. Rob, what do you think about this next one?
This one is a hard one for me because actually I haven't been impressed with either one of these teams so far this year. I mean, I know Auburn beat Washington, but as we talked about, Washington, in my opinion, were the better team, and it just beat themselves in that football game against Auburn. And Auburn was not impressive yesterday against Southern Miss. Mississippi State was not impressive at home against Florida on yesterday. So this one is, you know, a real tough one for me to make a prediction on. And I've gone back and forth, but I'm going to go Mississippi State. I think has been a bigger disappointment thus far. They were supposed to be really legitimate defensively, and they have been for the most part. But they've been a real big disappointment offensively with Nick Fitzgerald at the quarterback position. So I'm going to say Auburn on the road in this one finds a way to win 24-17.
I'm taking Auburn. I said it from the get-go. I know Rob has been trying to pump up Ole Miss and Mississippi State in the SEC West. I'm just not a believer. I mean, they had their little run when they had Kelly and Dak, you know, when they were at both ranked, I think, in the top five at one point. That time is over, okay, and I don't think that time is coming back. So we just go ahead and put that to rest. I'm going to take off.
There you go. I love it.
I don't have no problem with that.
We're definitely into the Major League Baseball playoffs here, but an interesting call. Your Reds, JQ, should they hire Joe Girardi? I mean, from, you know, former Yankee player. What about your thoughts about that? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it's a I think it's a splash hire that you don't see the Reds make on a regular basis. My thing is, if I was Joe Girardi, why would I want to go to Cincinnati? I don't feel like they're anywhere close to being back there, and all you're going to do is compile losses on your record. That's just a fact. I'm a Reds fan. I want them to be well, but I also look at the farm system, and they don't really have a whole lot in the farm system. They don't really have anything, you know, that scares you from the starting unit, so to speak, and the bullpen outside of Iglesias. They have a good hitting team, but, you know, you can't win every game 10-8, and at some point they have to get some pitching, and they just don't have it in the pipeline from my perspective. If I'm Joe Girardi, I'm looking at it, unless you just are eager to get back into it and coaching, you'll take, you know, any one of those 30 baseball openers that are there, then you jump back to it. But, you know, if you're Joe, you feel like you can wait in another opportunity that presents yourself, I will wait for that. So I just flip it around. For the Reds, I think it's no doubt. If he wants to come to Cincinnati, you go ahead and do that. But if I'm Joe Girardi, I'm like, I'm not really sold on what the Reds have in their future. Where you look at them and say, like, you look at the Braves and say, you know what, they've got guys that are on the cusp that, you know, if they continue on the trend they're on, they're going to be there. And you see Atlanta, you know, making that come to fruition. I just don't see that turning around in the cards for the Reds over the next couple of years. I just don't. Unless they go spend some money on free agency, which they don't typically do, I just don't see that happening right now. They're in for right now. It hurts me to say.
Bryce Harper said he'll take $350 million if you want to make that happen.
Yeah,
bro.
Just not ain't coming up on that kind of money, bro.
Go ahead, Rob.
That's not happening.
Oh, Cincinnati, y'all got all those corporations in that town, man. Y'all got to put it together.
I agree.
Procter and Gamble.
Kroger,
anything you want to say about Joe Girardi? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, obviously being a Yankees fan, I think he would be, you know, a good fit anywhere. But that question was specifically for JQ, so he's a Bengals fan. He knows more about that team than I do, so I'll leave all those comments there.
He said Bengals fans. They just aren't there. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're a head coach that, like you said, you've done it under that pressure and those lights in New York for the Yankees, and you're looking to get back into it, and I just don't see, you know, I think the Reds, like you said, I think the Reds would jump on it. I just don't think Girardi would jump on it. And like I said, unless he's just ready to get back into it, he'll take anything that you give him. But if he's patient, I would just wait and see if a better opportunity. I just don't think the Reds are close enough to hire attract the talent of a higher-end coach like Joe Girardi because of just where they are at as an organization at the major league level and the minor league level.
Nice. All right, let's wrap this up here. We got to talk about some. We talked about the NBA preseason is going on, man. Saw my Warriors play, man. Dolphins, see them do their thing, man. Let's talk about I'm a Hawks fan and a Warriors fan. Let's talk about LA and LeBron, man. It's going to be a long season. He's already kind of annoyed at the media already, too. So, JQ, what are your thoughts about this, man? I mean, it's just, you know, man.
The thing about it is, you know, as polished as he is with the media, at times, you know, he's the biggest thing happening. And then you go to that story franchise, the Lakers, for him, where he is in his career, he's got to know that he's going to get questions from running the gamut from A to Z. And you got to be prepared for that. But a piece of me, the human piece of me, knows that on that random Tuesday, you don't want to answer that question or those series of questions. Like, you know, really? You're rehashing things you've already asked me. And you're trying to get some kind of salacious soundbite out of me, and it's not going to happen. So I can see being frustrated with that, but you got to be more of a pro. When you make that decision to go to LA in that market, and you want to reap it, you know, Space Jamming and all that other good stuff, you got to pay the other costs that come with it, and that's dealing with the large, stronger media that's going to ask you a lot of questions that you may or may not want to answer on that particular day. And you just kind of have to, you know, grin and bear it and answer it. And maybe you don't give a 2-minute answer. You just give a 25-second straight to the, you know, point answer, and you keep it pushing. So, you know, I see both sides of it, but I would like to see him, you know, settle down a little bit because, dude, this is just the tip of the iceberg. When you hit that first 3-game losing streak, or somebody gets into an argument on the court, if things aren't gelling, this, that, and the other, the questions are going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming, even if you're winning, of now that you're winning, can you beat Golden State? Can you do this? It's never going to end. So you have to get your mind in a place where you have to know that that's where it's going to be. And, again, you just go up there and you take the good with the bad. You took the good with the money and all the other opportunities the LA is presenting itself. So now you got to take the bad where you have to answer questions when you don't want to.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he could have handled that just slightly better. And some of the questions were kind of dumb. But you got to go ahead and take those punches with it. And so I definitely think he should have handled those. Some of those interviews a little bit better. I think he came across a little bit arrogant with some of his responses, but definitely could have been handled a little bit better. But, wow, I mean, ESPN airing the Lakers' first preseason game because LeBron James is there. Obviously, Denver waxed that ass tonight, 124-107. LeBron played 15 minutes, had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, had a sweet pass to Brandon Ingram for a slam dunk. Other than that, I mean, LeBron James got ESPN airing the preseason game.
mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
That's the nature of the beast.
You know it's going to happen, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
you know what's interesting? You know, just I don't know if I've really paid this much attention to it, but every time LeBron James has left a team, the team that he left doesn't make the playoffs. So when he left Cleveland for the first time, the next year Cleveland did not make the playoffs. So they went from having the best record in the league, even though they didn't make it to the finals, they had the best record in the league. And then when he left, the next year they didn't even make the playoffs. When he left Miami, they lost in the NBA Finals. And the next year, Miami don't even make it to the playoffs. So you got to expect that the same thing is going to happen with the Cleveland Cavaliers. When Michael Jordan left the Bulls for the first time, the Bulls had won 57 games with Jordan. The next year, they won 55 games without Jordan.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they had a better team. But Tristan Thompson, can we talk about the Cavaliers and Tristan Thompson talking about, you know,
oh,
the Eastern Conference still runs through Cleveland? I said, come on, Tristan. Come on, Double T. You cannot say that. And everybody chimed in. Markieff Morris, Jason Tatum, all of them. Ben Simmons, like, yeah, dude, I don't know what you and the Kardashians are smoking, but you need to put that thing down and go to the basketball and practice because you are tripping. I couldn't believe that he said that out loud. Into a microphone. That was crazy.
Yeah. Cleveland might be the worst or the second worst team in the Eastern Conference this year without LeBron James. That is unreal.
He's feeling confident. He's feeling confident, bro. He's feeling confident, bro. Come on, man. He's feeling confident, man.
He's tripping. Calling people out, talk to Toronto. Right. We know that story. We know what they do. I said, come on, man. You going to talk smack about teams, too, without LeBron in your hip pocket? Like, oh my God.
You
are That's tripping. Hilarious.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson hanging out with Adam Pac-Man Jones and Andre.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Adam Pac-Man Jones lived in Robert's neighborhood, man, so that was his supplier, man. And then when Rob moved to Louisiana, Pac-Man Jones followed him right back to Louisiana. So, I mean, that's all I'm going to say, man. So, yeah, y'all like best buddy. Y'all like boys and stuff like that, too, man. So, it's all good. Oh, man. So, hey, wrap up the show, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we covered everything, and actually we ended the show a lot quicker than we have in the last couple of weeks. We're coming to you here with 75 minutes. We have been going 90 minutes in the last couple of weeks, so we covered it for you a little bit quicker on this week. Once again, we'll be back at you live on next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Obviously, we're going to be right in the heart of the NFL action and college football. And obviously, we're going to be right in the middle of the baseball playoffs, so we got to get that in as well. And the NBA is kicking off this season, so we'll dibble and dab a little bit into that as well. Fantasy basketball draft coming up soon. So for all of you all out there that's playing in our league, I think our draft is coming up here on Tuesday the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. We'll update you on that. I believe our draft is going to be Tuesday night, October the 9th, coming up soon. That should be a week right before the regular season tip-off. Thanks for joining us once again. Good night, people. Make sure you tune in on next Sunday night.
Yes, sir. Everything that man just said, we appreciate y'all. Looking forward to the basketball and these baseball playoffs. I'm really looking forward to that. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show and downloading the podcast, and we'll holler at you next Sunday. Later.
Go Yankees.
Yep. Here we go.
Yeah.
We'll keep that on mind too, fellas, because I'm just looking at my schedule. My wedding might run a little extra, man. So we'll talk about that too, man, because I'm looking at my schedule, man. So we'll talk, man. So
okay.
Anyway, but yeah, keep that in the fray too. But again, as always, we're here. Appreciate everyone listening to the podcast, all that fun stuff. Fellas, have a great week, and we'll keep it going as always. Be good.
Yes, sir.
Good night, people.
I'll see y'all later.
Peace. Good night. Later. Good night.